Could I welcome each and every one along to this, the first of our harvest services over this weekend. We're glad to see you, and we trust that you will be blessed and challenged as you hear the Word of God this evening. Also like to bid a warm word of welcome to those who are watching online this evening as well. We're going to commence our service tonight by singing a harvest hymn. We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and soft, refreshing rain. We're going to keep our seats while we sing this hymn, and we're singing the first three verses of the hymn. Our Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for the privilege that is ours of coming before thee. Lord, as we come into thy courts this evening, we come not empty-handed, but we come tonight laden down with praise and thanksgiving. We thank even of the children of Israel and how the harvest coming that they gathered and they presented the first fruit even unto thee, acknowledging thy goodness and thy blessing even upon them. We thank the Lord for thy hand upon us, even as a nation. We thank thee for the food that we have enjoyed. We recognize that while the farmer must go out and plow and sow and then harvest, yet, Lord, it is thee and thee alone that gives the increase. And so we give thee thanks tonight for the harvest that has been safely gathered in. We think even tonight, Lord, of the crops that are yet to be gathered in. And we would ask, Lord, that thou wouldst give even favorable weather in the days that lie ahead. And Lord, while we thank you tonight for every material gift, we thank thee most of all for the gift of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that at Calvary's cross that he took our sin, he died in our place, and we rejoice that he rose again for our justification. And we thank you, Lord, tonight that because he lives, we live in him this evening. We thank thee for each one gathered here tonight who knows thee as their own and personal Savior. And we ask, Lord, for thy blessing upon them and that thou wouldst lead them on with thyself day by day. And so, Lord, we come tonight and we commit this service into thine hands. We ask, Lord, that you would come and that thou wouldst minister to each one of us here tonight. May we hear thy voice speaking to us. And we ask, Lord, to that end, especially for thy servant, we thank thee for the gifts and talents that thou hast given to him. We ask, Lord, that as he would minister in song, that thou wouldst bless him, fill his cup, and we pray that it might flow over this evening. And Lord, as he opens up thy word, we pray that he might know perfect liberty this evening. We thank thee that thou hast given to him a word. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst take that word and that thou wouldst apply it to our hearts this evening. We ask, Lord, especially for those who know thee not as Savior. We realize, Lord, that the summer is ending. And we realize that the day of grace for individuals may soon come to an end. And we ask, Lord, that they might not waste this opportunity, but this night close in with thyself. Bless thy word as it goes forth tonight, not just in this place, but we ask that even as it goes online across the world, we pray, Lord, that it might bring forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Lord, send us a bountiful harvest, we ask of thee, and that we may hear of many souls coming to know thee as Lord and Savior. So, Lord, be with us here tonight. Bless us, for we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. It's a real joy for me tonight to welcome along to our service Dr. William McCrae. Not only is he our preacher tonight, but he's also our soloist. And so at this stage of the meeting, I'm just going to ask him to come and bring his first messages in song.
I have to get into my harness to be able to sing. Acres of diamonds, mountains of gold, all the rivers of silver and jewels untold. All these together couldn't buy you or me. Give you peace in the valley or a conscience that's free. A heart for salvation or a satisfaction. I admire all these together, money can buy.
his gold more than the master. So he went away. He was lost without Jesus. Didn't do what Christ said. And the Savior was sorry for the young man that day. You cannot be saved, friend, turning Jesus away. You have Jesus, there's more wealth in your soul than all the acres of diamonds, mountains of gold. A heart for salvation, or a satisfied mind, all these together money can buy. If you're Jesus, there's more wealth in your soul than all the acres of diamonds, mountains of gold. Thank God I have Jesus. There's more wealth in my soul than all the acres of diamonds, mountains.
I'd like to thank our brother for that message in song. Praise God, in Christ we are rich. We have treasures beyond imagination. Can I just make a few announcements this evening? Please do remember our harvest services over the weekend. They continue tomorrow morning at 11:30, and the Reverend Ryan McKee will be here to minister from God's precious word. And then our evening service at 7 p.m., and the guest preacher will be the Reverend Roger Higgison. Mr. Higgison, of course, recently moved to become the minister of our Lisburn church. And also at the evening service, Mr. Stephen Anderson will be with us to minister in song. And then, of course, that next week is our special harvest mission, and the meetings will continue Monday through to Friday, and each night at 8 p.m., and the Reverend Higgison will be back night by night to bring God's precious word. And there'll be soloists with us each evening as well. And if you're a child of God, we'd like to encourage you to remember the meetings, especially in prayer, and even seek to bring others out under the sound of the gospel. Sometimes, you know, you could become defeatist, and you could say, well, it's dark days and all of this, and give up. But we must keep reaching out, and there are those, and because even of what's happening in the land, are thinking about their souls. And so it's a time of opportunity, and we trust that you will remember the meetings very much in prayer. We're not lifting an offering in the meeting, but there will be plates at the door, and you can give as you leave the service this evening. Also, there are the little invitation cards, and there's still some of them sitting there on the table, and if you can make use of them, please do so. We're going to keep our brother busy. Normally in a meeting, you might have an offering hymn and all of this, but because of Corona, we're not having those things, so he's not getting much chance to catch his breath, and he's going to come, and he's going to sing to us again, and then he's going to bring God's word to us tonight.
Isn't it great to have youth on your side?
There's a wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder of sunrise I see, the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to know that God loves me. The wonder of it all, oh yes, the wonder of it all, is to know that God loves me. There's the wonder of springtime and harvest, the sky and the star and sun, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that's only begun. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to know that God loves me. The wonder of it all, yes, the wonder of it all is to know that God loves me. The harvest is passing, the summer is ending. Sinner, will you be saved? For time is not fleeting, the moments they're passing. Tell me, sinner, will you saved? Will you be saved from your sin? Oh, will you let Jesus in? Look up in prayer. Will you be saved? Standing today at your door, he's knocking. Sinner, will you be saved? For now is the time, day of salvation. Sinner, will you be saved? Will you be saved from your sin? Oh, won't you let Jesus in? Look up in prayer.
What a solemn question that is. Sinner, will you be saved? I want us to turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Luke's Gospel and the chapter number 8. And can I thank your minister for the invitation to come and share with you in the gospel service tonight. It's certainly a joy to be here in Lurgan. And we pray that God richly bless us as we open God's precious and God's infallible truth. And I trust that the Lord will indeed just touch our hearts and that God will speak to each and every one of our souls tonight. That's the book of Luke's Gospel and the chapter 8. I want us to read some verses from God's precious word at verse number 4. Commencing at verse number 4, follow the reading of God's infallible truth with us this evening. Luke's Gospel chapter 8 and the verse number 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And Jesus said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell amongst the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth with a vessel, or putteth under a bed, but setteth in a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth to have. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and fallible truth. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Eternal God, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege of gathering here in thy house unto thy word. And O God, I pray in Jesus' name that thou will cover this preacher in the precious blood. Grant, Lord, that thou will ward off every attack of hell. Tonight, perfect liberty might be given for the preaching, proclamation of thy holy and thy precious truth. Lord Jesus, we come to listen to thy word because the passage you read tonight were words right from thyself. And the exposition is from thyself, and I pray that thou will help me to faithfully and rightly divide the word of truth. We pray that thou will take of thy word and write it upon the hearts of those who are listening. Those who are listening in the airwaves, Lord, wherever they are. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will attend the preaching of thy truth. And that this night that precious souls will be gloriously, wonderfully saved and brought unto thyself. O God, through Jesus Christ, save the lost, we pray. For we ask it in his lovely name. Amen. You notice in this 8th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel, it tells us in verse number 4, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him, out of every city he spake by a parable. You find that the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, he experienced days of popularity, but also days of rejection. You'll find at this time, however, it was a time of popularity when people gathered to listen in their multitudes to the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll find that this is recorded in another passage in God's Word, that so many people had gathered that the Lord Jesus Christ stepped into a ship and he sat down and he taught the people from it because the people were pressing upon him. It says here, much people were gathered together. But of course, like every congregation, not everybody comes for the same purpose. Not everyone who came to hear the Lord Jesus Christ desired to hear what he had to say. Some people came for the miracles. Some came for the food. Some came for healing. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, as he looked upon that multitude, the Lord Jesus knew exactly what was going on in the individual hearts. Thou, God, seest me, and thou knowest me altogether. And friend, there's not one of us tonight that's listening in the airwaves or here in this congregation, but God knows your heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. You remember Herod, the Bible tells us that Herod desired that Jesus Christ would come to him because he hoped that some miracle would be done. But the Lord Jesus Christ did no miracle in Herod's presence. He wasn't there just to display something to satisfy the curiosity or the pleasure of the king. Lord Jesus Christ never spoke a word to him. The Lord Jesus had nothing to say. You see, the Lord knew exactly why that Herod desired to see him. In the book of John's Gospel, it tells us that indeed there were those that desired the Lord Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, if you look for a moment there, it tells us in that passage of God's Word, the people came to the Lord Jesus in verse number 2 of chapter 6, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. That's why they came. But the Lord Jesus Christ knew that not only did the crowd come, but the crowd also left. Because you'll notice in that same chapter, if you go down to verse number 66, it says, from that time, many of them went back and they walked no more with him. And then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? My dear friend, I wonder what's in your heart tonight as you've come to this harvest service. We thank you for coming. We thank God you're here. For those who are listening in, we thank God that you have a desire to listen in. But I trust that tonight it will be more than just desiring to hear words that are said from a preacher, but that God may speak to the very depths of your soul. Because whenever the Lord Jesus looked at that multitude, he not only looked at them, he looked into them. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ told us the parable, or told them the parable that he did. Because you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he looked into that crowd, he saw the parable in reality. Because this parable is revealing what was going on in the hearts of these individual people. Now, everyone looked at them. Nobody else knew what was going on in their hearts, but Jesus did. Because as I said, not only did he look at them, but he looked into them. My friend, in that passage of God's Word in John's Gospel, chapter 6, the Bible tells us when the Lord Jesus looked into their hearts, this is what Jesus said. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Yes, they came for the miracles. But they wouldn't come to him. I wonder tonight, do you desire Jesus? Do you desire to know him personally as your Savior and your Lord? Remember that verse, will you also go away? I remember Mrs. Paisley, Dr. Paisley's mother, preaching a message in our congregation on that very text of scriptures, will ye also go away, in her broad Scottish accent. And that night, several precious souls came to Christ. Thank God they didn't go away. But that night they came to him. But my friend, 50 years of preaching in Macrofelt, I saw many come. And I saw many go away. Not only from a service, but from time itself and into God's eternity, going away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye will not come to me. Is that what the Savior sees tonight in your heart? Is that what the Savior is saying as he looks into the very depths of your soul? Ye will not come. You see, the Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest. But he says, ye will not come. You'll not come. That's why you're not saved. You have not come. But friend, will you not? In this harvest service, will you not come to the Lord Jesus and be gathered in to the fold and the family of the redeemed of the Lord? And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he's speaking to this people. He looks into the crowd and looks into their hearts. And he tells his parable. Verse number 5. He said this, a sower went forth to sow. Now you'll notice whenever the Lord Jesus Christ told another parable concerning the wheat and the tares, whenever the Lord Jesus was expounding what that parable meant, he said this. He said, the sower is the Son of Man. But notice he doesn't say that here. He just says a sower went out to sow his seed. And whenever you come to the exposition that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to the disciples concerning this man, he never mentions him. He talks about the seed. He talks about the sowing. He talks about the soil. But he doesn't talk about the sower. He just says, a sower. You see, the sower is anyone that takes the gospel seed. I'm a sower tonight. I'm here to take the word of God and to bring to you the word of the living God. Everyone who saved you are a child of God, and you're to sow the gospel seed and to scatter the seed wherever you go. And the Bible says, he that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bearing his seed. No, bearing his sheaves with him. Because you see, the sower has got to sow the seed. And God has called me tonight, not to entertain a crowd, but God has told me, and God has sent me to sow the gospel seed tonight, his word. Because the seed is the word of God. And so we're here in this service tonight, bearing the gospel seed, just as Paul said to Timothy. He said, Timothy, he says, preach the word. Preach the word. And that's the responsibility of the preacher. We built our church in Macrofelt. The elders asked me what text of scripture I wanted above the pulpit. And I told them I wanted one text of Scripture which God had written upon my heart and burnt into my soul. And it was these words, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And friend, you go to that congregation and go into that church and you'll find they will not be able to remove it. Because in actual fact, they'd have to destroy the building, take the wall down completely, because it's built into the wall. And any time a gospel preacher steps up or a preacher steps up those steps, over his head is these words, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." It's a solemn thing to be called to be a preacher. It used to be that people had got, in olden times, people had got this idea that they wanted their little Jimmy to be a preacher, that somehow it would give them standing in society. What about it, friend? It means absolutely nothing. As far as standing in society, what's that about? For life at best is very brief. We're only here for a short while, and I can tell you this, you'll not be long gone till you're forgotten. And somebody else will take your place. So don't get over carried away with your self-importance, friend, because that's the way it is. That's life. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "A sower went forth to sow." And then he talks about the soil. He says, "Some fell, some seed fell by the wayside, and then some fell upon a rock, and some fell among thorns, and then some fell upon good ground." And what the Lord Jesus Christ in this story, my friend, as he looked into that congregation, that's exactly the soil that he saw. That was the congregation he's looking at. The four types of soil. Now notice it's all the same seed. And what happened was not because there was something wrong with the seed. It was to do with the soil. It was to do with the ground. And so we find here that seed without soil is fruitless. But soil without seed is fruitless or useless. And so therefore, it's the sowing of the seed in the hearts. And what the Lord Jesus Christ noticed in that crowd was this. There were four responses in that crowd to what Jesus had to say. And he saw four hearts. First of all, notice it says here that some fell by the wayside. Now the word of God goes on and the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about it. Look at verse number 12. Here's the exposition, verse 11. The seed is the word of God. "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Now notice this. Every one of these four different hearts, every one of them hears. You notice that in every one of them it says, they hear, they hear, they hear, they hear. It's not that they haven't heard. And maybe there's someone listening to my voice tonight. And dear friend, you're not saved. It's not because you don't know. You've heard it perhaps over and over and over again. But you've heard it with the ear. But you've never understood it with the heart. You've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so whenever we look at this first seed here, we find that some fell by the wayside, but the wayside hearers are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe
and be saved. Now let's examine that. What's this all about? You see, over there in the land which the Lord Jesus Christ, Jerusalem, or outside it in that countryside, the fields had got no walls or no fences. But there were long strips, narrow strips of ground. And between the strips of ground, we find then there was a pathway, a beaten pathway, about 3 foot wide. And that's where people walked on. That's where people moved along. That's where it was never plowed. It was beaten so hard, it was like a pavement. Horses trod in that. The wheels of the carts would have been driven over that. The people, the laborers, would have walked over it. And it was so hard. There under the sun, it was caked. So hard. And the seed fell upon it, but it never entered in. It just lay on it. Just lay. But notice what happened. It didn't lie long, because it says this: then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of the heart. Or it says in verse 5, that the fowls of the air devoured it. As it lay there upon that hard ground, the fowls of the air sweep down upon it, friend, and they took that seed, they carried it away, and there they stripped the ground of the seed. Yes, they heard. But you know, men and women, hearing the word of God is a solemn reality. It's a solemn responsibility. Jesus says, I have called, but ye have refused. He said, I have stretched out my hand, but you didn't regard it. You didn't want it. In other words, you cast it aside. You didn't count it as something that really mattered. And the more you heard, the more your heart grew hard. And to be honest, that word never penetrated your heart. Because no sooner did it land there, you just pushed it away. Maybe there's someone here tonight. And that's what you have done for years, friend. You've been pushing the word of God away. It doesn't really matter to you. Men and women have come to God's house and even special harvest occasions, and maybe they've come to please their family or their friends. They don't have any interest in the things of God. They've been invited, and so therefore they didn't want to refuse, but they couldn't wait to get out. Couldn't wait to get home. Because like Galileo of the Scriptures, Galileo cared for none of those things. And there's multitudes tonight, and they haven't a thought of God. As far as them, life is sport, or life's work, or life's beer, or life's fishing, or life's cars, making money. That's what it's all about. Friend, is it? Is that all there is? Is that all you're here for? The Lord Jesus said, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? And notice the fowls swoop down and take it away. Why does the fowls swoop down? Listen, the Lord Jesus says, then cometh the devil. Let me tell you, friend. Yes, the devil is busy, even as a preacher preaches. The devil wants you to think of other things. You think about tomorrow. You think of maybe your work next week. You think about making money. You think of all of these things. It's amazing what goes on in a person's heart. And as a preacher stands up and faithfully proclaims the word of God, they haven't a thought about what he's talking about. Not your fact. Some don't even hear it. Because they didn't come to hear. All ears are sound. The devil snatches the word away. Yes, the devil rides home in the car with you from a gospel meeting to stop you thinking about eternal things. Why does he do that, friend? Well, you've got the answer here. Verse 12. Lest he should believe and be saved. The devil doesn't want you to be saved. He doesn't want you to put your faith and your trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to get to the precious blood and know God's pardon and cleansing through the blood that Jesus shed upon the cross of Calvary. And so the devil will seek to snatch that word away, lest you be saved. He doesn't want you to be saved. Well, if he doesn't want you to be saved, what does he want? He wants you to be damned. Friend, the devil has one plan for you, sinner. I want to tell you this. The devil wants to take you to hell. That's what he wants. He wants you to go to hell. And that's why he wants to take away the seed of the gospel. And as the Lord Jesus Christ looked into that crowd that night, or that day, the Lord Jesus looked into people's hearts and he knew that as he was sowing the seed, the devil was swooping down to take it away. Let me ask you, friend, do you realize tonight if you're not saved, you will be damned? Do you realize if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, heaven will never be your portion or your place of dwelling? And they can sing the 23rd Psalm at your funeral. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, friend. And your soul will be down in hell in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Lost. You read the 12th chapter of the book of Luke's gospel. You find the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about serious things in that passage of God's word. He talked about sin. He talked about hell. He talked about the fear of man. He talked about the unpardonable sin. All of these things. And as the Lord Jesus Christ talked about these serious eternal things, a man stopped him. Notice it. He says, would you speak to my brother and tell him to divide his inheritance with me? He got the inheritance and I didn't. You tell him to divide. Listen, as Jesus talked about eternal things, all he could think about things. Divide the inheritance with me. You know what Jesus said in that story? Jesus said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Friend, he wouldn't need the inheritance, because he was going to hell. I don't know about you, but I think that's serious. And then the Lord Jesus said, there was some fell upon a rock. And my, the word of God, in verse number 13, it says, they on the rock are they which when they hear, notice again, they hear. It's not they have never heard. There are many in Ulster that have never heard the gospel once. And they're dying in their sin and they're going out into a lost eternity. Oh, what an awful thing to die in your sin and go to hell with the gospel in your ears. He
hearing the truth of God, hearing the appeal of the Spirit of God, come unto me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, but to go out from a gospel appeal like that and to turn away and walk away from Christ. Yes, they hear. But it says they receive the word with joy. Is that not good? But they know it. Say, what do you mean, preacher? Friend, here's the careless here. You see, the reality is this. They make a profession. But there's no repentance. And there's no salvation. I'm sad to say there are many people in Ulster tonight. And that's what they're relying upon. Yes, they went to the meeting, and my, they were superficially touched. They were emotional hearers when they heard the word of God. Yes, it seemed that my, they were running to Christ. Some people think, you know, if I come to Jesus, you know, that'll solve all my problems. There's prosperity messages going about. Come to Jesus and be rich. Yes, friend, you will. You come to Christ and you'll have got eternal riches. But that doesn't mean that your bank balance will be better. But there are those who think, come to Jesus, never have another problem again. Every problem will disappear. And the emotional hearer. But there's no genuine work of the Spirit of God, no conviction. No repentance. And no salvation. What was the problem? The seed? No. It was the soil. You see, upon this rock, friend, there was just a little smattering of soil over the top. And with the heat in the ground, my, whenever the seed would be sown, it would quickly sprout into plant. But there was no moisture. No Spirit of God. And just died away. And then the Lord Jesus said, look, at verse number 7, some fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. What does that mean? Go to verse number 14. And they that fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And they bring forth no fruit to perfection. There's the crowded heart. Yes, there's plenty of soil. But you see, there's a lot of other growth there. And maybe you've heard the gospel, friend. Maybe you have deeper knowledge of the truth of the gospel. You know what it means to be saved. You know what it means to be lost. You know what it means that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to Calvary's cross and died in your guilty room instead. And you know you need to be saved. You know that except you repent, you'll perish. It's not that you don't know this truth. But why aren't you saved? Because your heart's filled with other things. You know what Jesus said, or God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Remember the young man in Luke's or Mark's Gospel, chapter 10? He came running to the Lord Jesus, fell down at the feet of Jesus, looked into the very face of the Lord Jesus Christ and said that Jesus loved him. And the young man said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Notice what Jesus said to him. He says, sell all you have, give to the poor. You see, was Jesus telling him to work his way to? No, friend. See, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that in that young man's heart, there was a God already. It said he went away from Jesus, for he had great possessions. His possessions was his God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No man can serve two masters. The cares of this world, the riches of this world, the pleasures of this world. My friend, this man's life or this person's life was filled. It was filled with other things. And they weren't willing to let them go. And the crowded heart had no room for Jesus. Is that you tonight? Are you letting other things take the place of the Lord Jesus? Remember what Jesus said? What should it profit a man? What would it profit you? Even if you gain the whole world, you never will. But even if you could, friend, and you lose your own soul, for what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Friend, there's nothing worth it. What's keeping you from Christ tonight? Be honest. Don't have to tell a preacher. Be honest. Sitting there in that seat, friend. If you're unsaved in this service tonight or listening in on the World Wide Web, and I asked you before God, what is keeping you from Jesus Christ? Why aren't you saved? And whatever it is, whatever that thing is, or whoever that person is, you're putting them before God. In the place of God, friend. And you won't have Christ. For you're not let go of your sin. You say, can I do that, preacher? Yes, you can, friend. But remember what Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 8. Jesus says, then I go my way, and ye shall die in your sin. And where I am, you can't come. You don't want him. You refuse him. You put other things in your life, my friend, before the Lord. I'll tell you this, there come a moment, then shall ye call. But I will not answer. Then ye shall seek me early, but you'll not find me. Then shall I laugh at your calamity. And I'll mock when your fear comes. What a tragedy. Die in your sin. And go eternally to hell. And as Jesus looked down on that crowd, he saw people in that crowd and their hearts were crowded. Yes, there were other gods in their lives, and they were not willing to let go of their sin and trust Christ. Jesus says, except you repent, you perish. This is clear as that. But thank God he didn't finish with that. He says, and others fell on good ground. And sprang up and bare fruit. Hundredfold. And one of the other passages it says, some 60, some 40, some 60, some hundredfold. But thank God there's the converted heart. They heard. And they brought forth fruit. May I ask you tonight, what about you? Where are you in the story? Where are you in that parable, friend? You're in it, you know. You're in it. If you're not the converted heart, you're the crowded heart, or you're the careless heart. God sees your heart, the callous heart. You're either saved or lost. And as you leave this meeting tonight, you'll either leave on your way to heaven or the crowded road to hell. Two ways before you lie. And each a choice must make. One upward to the sky, the other downward to the lake. Will any choose that path of woe? Each soul will answer yes or no. I beg you in God's name, say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to the hearts of those that have heard. But, oh God, don't let the devil come and take away the seed. Oh God, I pray that the ground might be plowed tonight. Spirit of God, plow deep, plant the seed, water and bring forth fruit unto glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Could I thank our brother for bringing God's word this evening and also for his ministry and song. It was a challenge and a blessing to our hearts. Truly tonight he has been the sower and he has sown good seed. And I wonder tonight, what will you do with that seed? I trust that your heart will be good ground and that if God has spoken to you, don't rush away. We're not, because of COVID, we're not going to the door, but we'll be here in the pulpit. If you want to speak to our brother, then just stay in your seat or come forward and we'll be glad to take time to point you to a Saviour who is able and willing to save you this evening. We're going to sing our closing hymn, Almost Persuaded. It's the hymn 462. Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. We're singing the verse 1 and the verse 3, and that third verse refers to the harvest and reminds us that the spiritual harvest, the time of opportunity, is passing. We're keeping our seats and we're singing softly just the two verses of this hymn. Let us just bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this time spent in thy presence. We thank thee for the seed that thou hast given to our brother. And we thank thee for the sowing of it this evening. And Lord, our cry is that thou wouldst break up the hard heart, and that it might fall upon good ground this evening. And Lord, that it might spring up unto life eternal. We pray, Lord, that none would be almost, but oh, that tonight they would be altogether persuaded, leaving this place knowing thee and have that assurance of eternal life. We thank you, Lord, for each in our gathering who have come to the cross. We thank you, Lord, for that day our burden was rolled away and we received eternal life. So, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst part us even now with thy blessing, take us to our homes in safety, be with us here tomorrow in thy house. We pray that thou wouldst work in our midst, and, Lord, that you'd bring honor and glory to your own great name. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.